All right, how's everybody doing? Hey, you guys need seats? There's stacks of chairs back there, you know? And you can sit. There's lots of seats right here. The second row's open. I know that guys in the back always love to get called to the front row, you know, the second row. Seriously, there are seats right there. Or you can just grab some chairs out of the back. Someone help them back there, right? Because we're going to preach for like an hour and a half, okay? So, dudes, really, you better find a seat. I'm just joking. Like dying on me. Really? Longer than the worship? Seriously. Well, good evening, good evening. Welcome, guys. So glad everybody could be here tonight. We're kicking off Presence all summer long here in the theater, and we are thrilled. I'd already smelled smells that I never smelled in the sanctuary before, good and bad. So it's good when you get close to people, right? Get to know them in some ways you don't like to get to know them certain ways. Like, really? It's just good. Feels like youth ministry a little bit, you know? All right. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence, God. Give us wisdom. Talk to us tonight and everything we're saying. Amen? Good. It's good. How many people love worship, love his presence? I'm telling you, there's nothing like his presence. You know that? I have to tell you, the presence of God is where it's all about. And, you know, everything happens in his presence. And we love that about Lifestyle. I love that about this house. You know, it's considered a present-driven church. Like, not so much purpose-driven, which is really good, but presence is our purpose, right? If we get this presence, it saves us, you know, years of counseling or years of deliverance or years of healing or whatever it is. And I grew up doing a lot of youth ministry, working after I first got saved, I started helping teenagers not make the same mistakes I made. And I was unsuccessful at it and successful at it. So it wasn't like, it was amazing all the time. No, it wasn't. So, but we just always felt if we can get kids in the presence of God, he can solve so many things. Do you know what I mean? Because God, in a moment, can teach someone like they get it. Anybody experienced that? Like, oh, I get it. You know, and people have been trying to tell you that for a year or two, whatever, however long. So in his presence, everything happens. We're made new in his presence. Our eyes are open in his presence. We're healed in his presence. Our hearts are softened in his presence, right? Come on, deliverance happens in his presence. Healing happens in his presence. We're filled with joy in his presence. You go through it. All these things happen in his presence, right? I mean, there's pleasure. He says pleasures are there forevermore in his presence. And we got a whole world that's looking for pleasure, right? Come on, how many people know some ungodly people that don't know Jesus and all they're looking for is pleasure like that next, whatever it is, you know? So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about a few things, but I want to talk about the manifest presence, but I want to talk about the opposite of that just so you know what we're saying. Omnipresence of God, a little bit of teaching here. Omnipresence of God is like God's everywhere all the time. Anybody understand that? If that's a big word for you, it's all one word. It might be on the screen behind me. Maybe it isn't, all right? So omnipresence of God, all right? That's God everywhere, simultaneously in all the places, and it's a key attribute of God, right? Because he said once he's in us, he'll never leave us or forsake us, right? Remember that? Yes? Remember David said in Psalm 139, he says, where shall I go from your presence? Yes, remember that? He says, where should I go? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I lay my bed in Sheol, there's some crazy song, right? He's going to be there too. So whether we know it or not, he's with us. That's the omnipresence of God. I know people are going, they remember that song, right? It's like a bar song, isn't it? Near my lure. I was just like, we're singing this on a Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit, I am not there. I'm too old or something. But anyhow, right? But he... crashing your mugs. No further. Whatever. I have not been in church long enough. Sorry. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about his manifest presence, all right? And not the omnipresence. The manifest presence is like the clear or obvious to the eye or the mind. It's how we see or know him. Everybody with me? Everybody say manifest. Okay? It's something that is sometimes experienced and sometimes it's not. But I believe God manifests himself to Moses, right? In a burning bush. Remember that? It was like, that's where he showed himself. The Son of God was manifested to us in Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, right? The Holy Spirit was manifest to the believers on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Do you remember that? That's what we're talking about, a manifestation. Nobody could deny it. I mean, most of the people there would like, God is here. That's what I'm saying. How many people experienced that? If you've been a part of Life Center, you probably have, and maybe you don't know. Like, why are those people falling down in the front? What's going on? You know? So, all right. But God manifests his presence to Daniel and his whole squad when they threw him in the fiery furnace. Do you remember that? Well, really, he really did. Even King Nebuchadnezzar, good old King Neb, he said his eyes were open. He's like, hey, there's another one in there, right? He wasn't even a believer. He didn't even know anything, and he saw the manifest presence of God. Isn't that awesome? Come on, that happened to me when I didn't know God. I experienced like, God, what is this? Is God, and I don't even know it. Do you know what I mean? That happens all the time, I think, to the world, and we don't even know it. So, but the first time I experienced the presence of God, the very, very first time, I went to a conference. And I was just going because I went with my girlfriend to be with her. You know, honestly, score points, met her family in Pittsburgh. True story. And I went to this, it was a college age ministry, campus ministry conference. It was in Pittsburgh. It was this big hotel. And I thought, they don't have any power, because I would get around to this campus ministries and I had encounters with God, but I wasn't following God. Does that make sense? So I knew when people had power. I don't, can't explain it. I just knew. Like, they don't have any power. So I went to this, and I won't say it, but it was a college ministry, and they went to the beach for like outreach. I'm like, shut up. Who does that? That's not really an outreach. Sorry. Just my own critical thing. So this guy gets up to the piano. There's like 3,000 students there. And I'm just there like, you know, being close to my girl. And this blind guy gets up and plays on the piano, and he just starts singing in tongues. We're talking 3,000 conservative Christian kids. And they all sat there silently, and I'm telling you, the manifest presence of God just came on me in the middle of the arena. I was like, I just melted down. I slid out of my chair on the ground, screaming, crying. You know, my girlfriend's so embarrassed, like, you're such a jerk. This is not what you're supposed to do at this place. And I'm just like, Jesus! And I'm just, true story, I'm serious. Maybe one of you were there, like, who's the weirdo back in the 18th row? I was losing it. And it was the manifest presence of God just wrecking me and convicting me of all the junk that I've been involved in. I'm like, ah, I was flipping out. I really was. So quickly after that, so soon after that, I really found a great church. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit not long after that. And I found a great church outside of State College. It was funny. Vinny talked about last week, all these stories of State College. So I have quite a few stories about State College because God does stuff there when you're students. And it's just a great, it's like the mecca of, anyhow, stuff that God can do with students. So I got involved in this church is way out beyond Bellefonte, if you know where Bellefonte, PA is. And it's like out in the middle of nowhere. And I found this church because they advertised this worship activity they had, and actually it was they were pumping in by satellite this worship experience that I knew about, and I knew it was current, and I knew it had the presence of God. And that's how young I was in the Lord, but I thought, I know they have power. So I went to this church, walked in the middle of nowhere, and their worship was out of control amazing. It was like Life Center, cutting edge. This is 1983, 84. I know that makes me feel really old, but it's not that old. So anyhow, and it was such a good church, but the pastor, when they closed worship, he would just do what we do today. He would just flow in the Holy Spirit. He would just prophesy, and I was just sucking it all up because I was brand new. I was like, I need all this, you know. And after I was there, probably, I don't know, a year or two, I got real involved. In fact, I just spent most of my time out there when I wasn't doing classes, taking classes, and the pastor got these tapes in the mail, these worship tapes, you know, cassettes. I know, nobody knows what those are anymore. And yeah, like, put them in there and rewind and click to the next track, right? Sorry. Yeah. So they got these 3 or 4 cassettes, and he's like, hey, because I was just trying to get in a hold of any type of music to get reprogrammed by, you know, change my whole life, who I was. And so the pastor gave them to me and said, check these out. These were the greatest cassettes that I ever got over the next, literally till worship recently has been released. Amazing, spontaneous, prophetic flow. And I got just gone on them. In fact, I wore a couple of them out, ordered new ones. They sent them, you know. But the funny thing about it, the guy was the worship leader on those cassettes. When I came to Harrisburg, and a couple of years later, I moved to Harrisburg and came to Word Fellowship, which eventually became Life Center. And my wife and I went to the worship leader and said, you got to get this guy in. Because then he started producing more CDs and cassettes, you know, CDs somewhere in there. Anyhow, cassettes. And he became a pretty well-known worship leader across the nation. So we actually invited him in to Word Fellowship at the time. So he actually ended up coming for the next probably 11 years, 12 years, John. And he did these massive worship conferences. And there wasn't any promo like you do today. Like all the social media, all the stuff you had to communicate. We used to open the doors and there was like 1,200, 1,300 people every like first week of August. Because it was right over my anniversary and one of my children's birthday. And we just like, no, we got to do the worship conference. You know, I might do that again sometime. But anyhow, so we did these massive worship conferences. So we did about 12 years, about 6 or 7 years in. I went to him, and he's a pretty cool guy. And, you know, I went to him, I said, hey, we have these crazy youth retreats. And we were doing crazy youth retreats, dragging kids out, just being kind of wild and crazy. And I know there's a few people. Anybody was at any of those retreats? Yes? I see. Yeah. Okay. A few people going, yeah, I remember you. All right. Katrina's going, yes. Okay. You can't say anything. All right. A few of these stories relate to that. So anyhow, he said, yeah, I'll do a youth retreat. I said, maybe 100, 120 kids. And this guy's like famous. He said, yeah, I'll do it. So he came and did one of our youth retreats, you know, spoke, but he let us lead the worship because we had like 3 youth teams. We were chasing, we were going after it. And I was a part of that whole thing. And so Saturday night, he gets up on Saturday night and says, hey, we're going to destroy the spirit of fear tonight. And all the kids are like, yeah. He goes, I want you to find your favorite verse. So this is about 120 of us. And everybody pick out a verse. You got 5 minutes to find you. Just a verse, not a chapter, not three verses, just a verse. So get a verse. And we're like, yeah, we got our favorite verse. He goes, okay, now every one of you are going to come up here and sing it. And we're like, we're going to sing it. And he was on the keyboard. He's like, I can follow you. He was that good a musician. So kids got up. And we had a bunch of kids from the neighborhood, from the hood. And so kids would get up and rap. And he's like, you know, his fake drums on the keyboard. Pretty corny. Yeah. So it was just really good. So we got through. All these kids were doing stuff. And it was so awesome. I mean, all the leaders did it, everything. So we got a couple hours in. And there's one person that didn't do it. And I probably haven't told this story. Anyhow, one person didn't do it. And she was kind of hiding up in the corner. And we were all like, has anybody done it? And nobody, everybody done it? We're like, no. And she was kind of shy, hanging out in the corner. And so he goes, okay, get her up here to do it. And so she gets up to do it. And she starts singing. And the presence, the manifest presence of God falls on it. Katrina, were you at that? Manifest presence of God falls into place. Without a word, like, you know, 100 plus teenagers get on their faces. Like, there isn't like, get on your knees. There was no need to do that. Everybody recognized. And just fell in the place. And she kept singing it. And he stopped playing. And she kept singing. It was like, and you know who that young girl was? Tiffany Aiken. Isn't that awesome? That was like 1997 or 96 or something. Isn't that cool? It's just so good. But I remember him doing leading songs. He did this one song, Spirit of the Living God, and it went into, what was it called? In Your Presence. And I know this sounded really corny, but I just sang him over and over because I thought the presence of God is the most powerful thing that you could experience, right? And even the manifest presence of God. I know we come in faith and do that, but when God shows up in an undeniable way, it's amazing, isn't it? You don't need to do anything. So just to encourage you, I love that about Life Center, right? So, here, I'll just go catch some of my notes here. So the manifest presence of God, that's what we're talking about. And we can't make it happen. We can't make his manifest presence or his presence manifest, if I could say it that way. But when we look through scripture and look through experiences in life, there are patterns of certain things that are always present. Would you agree? So worship's one of those. I honestly believe worship is like the deal. Something happens. And he says, I come to inhabit the praises of my people. He comes and settles down with his governmental authority. And sometimes it's overwhelming, isn't it? It's one of my favorite parts about Life Center. If you know, we'll probably err on the side of Life Center of doing worship than speaking, won't we? You know what I mean? Like last Sunday, I think it was like 49 minutes of worship and Charles spoke for like 28 or something. It's like, wait a minute, is this off? But there's something about that. We'd love that. Isn't that good? So, man, and we'll get there. So just, it's awesome, all right? So great things happen in his presence. I believe when we're bound up, things are broken off our lives. Like when David prayed tonight, John prayed tonight, just different things. Mark is saying, these things happen in our lives in his presence that we can't do by ourselves, or you can't do unless you get in his presence and have the manifest presence of God. Does that make sense? There's certain things, like the disciples came to Jesus. How do we get this? Like, I don't know. Certain things only come up by prayer and fasting. And he probably should have put in there worship and intercession and a bunch of other stuff, you know, adding to the Bible. Okay, don't get it. It's okay. Right? So but all things happen in his presence. I mean, really, they really do. And I think things are broken off. Fear is wiped out. I remember getting delivered from a spirit of fear in his presence. And people have had that happen to you. I mean, stuff that's traumatic and trauma is the big thing today. I've seen people get healed of trauma in a moment in his presence. It's amazing. It's like, I'm new. I'm changed. It's so good. Unforgiveness disappears in people's lives. Man, past hurts are healed in God's presence. Prejudice has become, they just dissolve in the presence of God. It's so amazing when you do that. When you recognize things and even present them to the Lord while you're in his presence. It's amazing. But, okay. Remember when Paul and Silas were in prison? In Acts chapter 16, what'd they do? They worshiped and they prayed. And what happened? They said the whole place, the manifest presence shook the place and their chains fell off. I think it's a picture of what happens in our own lives. We get in his presence, things shake off of us. We can't even articulate many times what's going on. Isn't that awesome when that happens? Like, I don't know what happened. What happened to you? I don't know. But all through the years of renewal, from 95 on, we'd have experience from trying to interview people. What happened? I don't know. God did something in my life. It's amazing. You know? Does anybody remember those days? You're like, now we have to articulate. Please explain the prophetic input in the meaning of that. Shut up. I don't know. Just God did stuff, all right? Sorry. We won't get too smart, all right? A bunch of years ago, and Katrina, you're a part of this. This is weird here tonight. Anyhow, Katrina's a part of this, but a bunch of years ago, we took a whole group to Hungary, and we got connected into the nation of Hungary, okay? And we went, part of the group was in Hungary, and then we went to Austria, and anyhow, all these nations opened up, and I was, you know, the youth guy going like, I want to go. There's been no, you know, missions going, and no American missionaries. So anyhow, so we went to the Czech Republic and got wiped out, you know, the year before that, and said, I'll go into Hungary. So we went into Hungary, and took a huge group of us, and we got into the first city we went to is called Bekeshchaba. Anyhow, we went to the city, and it was right on the border of Romania, and we were doing worship. It was probably 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, and we presented the gospel out in the middle of the streets. And some of these areas, a lot of places in Eastern Europe have whole areas where just shopping and there's no driving. So they would have huge shopping areas where just where people walk. And I said, I want to set up in the middle of where all the people are. So it was, anyhow, I won't share all, there's some really crazy stories. But making a shorter part of the story, because the guy was an older guy, was a pastor there. And we kind of broke all of his boundaries and rules because we were just like 40-some of us. We showed up and his sound system was like a boombox with like two little speakers. And we had like drums, guitars, bass, you know, keyboards, the whole deal. So I said, this is not going to work. And we had talked to him. I had gone on 6 months before and met him. And he guaranteed everything would happen. He did get the right permits for right in this downtown area, which is amazing. So he said the only people who have the sound system are like the black market guys and the guys that rent to the soccer stadiums. And they're like beer festival soccer games. That's basically what they were. So we got in one day, and the next day he takes us to a big soccer stadium at 8 o'clock in the morning. And there's all these guys out there, and they're literally all shirtless, and they have these huge bellies. And these are guys running the sound, and they also control the beer in the city. So literally, there were kegs of probably the size of that whole wall just stacked up. And I came up, and he had this huge stack of speakers. And I said, I want to rent the sound system through a translator. He says, you want sound system? I'm like, yeah. Do you want beer? I'm like, no, I don't need the beer. I just want the sound system, you know. So, true story. It was this massive, like, concert system. So he brought the entire system that night to the city. It was amazing, to the downtown area. And we just set up stacks of speakers. So literally, I don't know how many people showed up. There was a lot of people that came because you could hear it for like the next radius, a 10-mile radius, you know. And it was amazing. So we brought this in. But it was crazy. About 10:30 that night, we got back into worship, and the manifest presence of God started falling on people, and it started raining. And this is dark, and you're talking lights. And a bunch of these guys came from a refugee camp, and they were soldiers that had escaped from, I believe, Kosovo and the Balkans, where they're all in a turmoil, there's fighting. And these guys had lived literally in the forest for months, they told us. So they came running into the meeting. And the pastor, the old guy, came up to me and said, don't pray for them. They're bad guys. They're gypsies. They're foreigners. Don't do it. And we couldn't help because these guys would walk up to us, and they were tough guys, like, ooh, tough guys. And they said, and they couldn't communicate. They just got people to translate for them and said, just pray for us. When you touch people and you pray, they cry, and they were saying their face shines when you pray for people. That's how they communicate. Isn't it weird? And so I told the older pastor, I said, look, you can kick us out tomorrow. We're going to pray for all these guys. And we literally prayed for them. And these guys never heard the name of Jesus, never knew anything. And they were falling down in the rain. It was the most powerful. Do you remember that, Katrina? It was freaky. And I'm like, what do? We just let it happen, you know? I mean, I was uncomfortable, but that's what we came to do. But it was weird how it was just amazing, the manifest presence, like manifest presence in the middle of a town that you just, it was weird. It was a foreign land to us. So we did that about 7 or 8 days, 9 days. And we traveled into this next city, which was the second largest city in Hungary called Debrecen. It's the second largest after Budapest. I know this sounds really foreign, but it's not. Anyhow, Debrecen had all the universities and colleges. And we showed up and met this guy named Joseph Kish. He's a young pastor there, and he's really amazing. And when we first met him, we showed up, and he was so intense. And our connection to him was through a guy named Andrew Sherman. If you remember Andrew Sherman, you remember him? So Andrew gave us all these contacts, said, this guy's good, he's good, he's good. And they're all kind of out-of-the-box guys. They weren't, except the older pastor. But this guy was cool. So this guy shows up, and he just starts barking at us, like in a foreign, in Hungarian. And he's so angry. And we're like, what is your problem? So finally, we're trying to communicate with him. He doesn't speak any English. And we don't speak Hungarian. And we met him at this campsite where we're all going to stay there. And he just starts shouting for the translator. Like, he snaps his finger and shouting for the translator. And he starts yelling, Magdi, Magdi, come, translate, Magdi. And the leaders with me are like, this guy's a jerk. And I'm like, look, Andrew Sherman said he's gold. We got to trust Andrew. That's the last word. I'm going the last word principle. And Magdi comes running like Edith, you know, on Archie Munker, like, yay, yes, yes, Joseph, yes, Joseph. You know, I'm like, what is the deal with this? It was so weird. Sorry. Anyhow, if you remember whatever that show was called. Anyhow, it was like, yes, Archie. Anyhow, she came running, and it was so whacked. It's whack. And we were like watching this. We're like, this is crazy. So he's like, translate. And he starts barking the orders to her. And she goes, okay, this is where you're going to stay. Kind of gives us a plan. This was probably like a Tuesday. He said, you get a day break and we can start Wednesday night. And we're going to start at his church. And I'm like, oh, how glorious. The happy pastor. I can't wait. And if you do we were doing lots of short-term missions. So I was kind of like, oh, this will be fun. Well, dig in, kids. We're going to pray. I'm like, we just need to pass out for a day because we're shot after the last 8 days. Anyhow, so we get to his church, get everything set up the next night. And we found out that we were the 7th team that he hosted in 2 months. And that's like 8 weeks. So almost every week he was having a different team come in, mostly from the UK. But he was getting teams like the so-and-so choir, kids choir. Instead, they were like tourist groups that didn't have any power. And the reason he was having the groups, we found out later, he was bringing groups in because he was trying to build something. He was like a go-getter. Like, I want to build a church. I want to plant churches. I want to go after. So this was after we got that story later. But showed up at his church, and we got the whole band started. And he showed up. He got us opened up. And it was actually in a campus university. Do you remember that? In this big classroom and the second thing. And he went to get his family, comes back, and we're all ready to roll. And we open up, and about a half a song in, and the same thing happened. Manifest Presence just goes, boom, on the place. And we had like 40-some on our team, and all of us were just, his entire church, which was, I don't know, 100 people, 80 people, they just went on their faces. And I went up to him just to pray for him. He goes, you know, he gets a chance at Mugdy. He's like, Mugdy comes up and says, he says, you're the real deal. You brought the presence of God. Isn't that awesome? But you watched him change. He was worn out. But it was awesome to see that happen because you can't make that stuff happen. So now I'm always looking for the formulas. Okay, what do we do? Were we all happy through the day? You know, you look for formulas like, what brought the manifest presence in that little city and this little city? You know what I mean? Anybody else do that? Let's do it whenever we did again. You know, like baseball players are real superstitious. Sorry. Like, do that. Yeah, do that. Don't put any gel in your hair. We didn't do that yesterday. Shut up. Sorry. Anyhow, but we did that stuff, and it's amazing when that happens. So worship is a key ingredient. Would you agree? Come on, worship's a key ingredient, the manifest presence of God. All right? Now, I'm going to go back to when I found that little church outside of State College, actually beyond Bellefonte, and I found that church. I got involved there quite a bit, and the pastor just called this. It was a crazy lead group, about 200 people, and they're real prophetic because the pastor was not a pastor at all. He was just a prophet that pretended like he was the pastor. Anyhow, it's just tough when a prophet's leading a church because it only grows so much. You know what I mean? Then he offends like half the people. Anyhow, it was, I don't know how to say it. That's why apostles and pastors and teachers need to work together, right? All right, so he's like, we're supposed to pray 6 o'clock in the morning 3 times a week. Three times a week, he called the church. We're going to pray Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, 6 a.m. And of course, me, I'm like, yeah, I'm just totally hardcore. So I said, I'll open up the building. And I'm driving like 40 minutes to this place. So I leave my house like 4 to 5, get there at 5:30, light the place all up, open it up, which I love doing because I'm like, I just want the presence of God. And I just never, and I didn't do this before. So I showed up, and most of the people were older. It was only a few students from State College because it was in the middle of wonderful nowhere. Anyhow, and so these people just pray in tongues, like stuff we do now. They would just rumble in tongues. Like, older people, like nobody, everybody had gray hair. Sorry, I don't know how to say that. Everybody had like, or didn't have hair like me. Anyhow, like, and they all prayed and rumbled for half an hour, and then he just prayed. It was amazing. I learned how to pray with these people. It was awesome. This is like I'm a senior in college, and I'm like, this is the most amazing thing that could happen. But it was so cool because I've realized in prayer, the manifest presence, God's presence would manifest at times that I was shocked and surprised. Because we found ourselves, everybody's on our knees and on our faces because the weight of the glory of God is so good. Anybody ever experienced that in prayer? It's awesome. It's one of the most powerful things that happened. I just couldn't believe how many people would come at 6 o'clock in the morning. We did it for 6 months. Like, that's hardcore. And out of 200 people, I bet 40-ish people were regular every week, or every day, whatever, 3 days a week. I thought, this is awesome. Something happened there supernaturally. So anyhow, so fast forward to moving back to Harrisburg. When I moved to Harrisburg, I started helping and get involved in this church and Word Fellowship and Life Center. And they found out they had a 6 o'clock in the morning prayer meeting. So I go to this prayer meeting, and I'm thinking, man, this is what they did in State College. In this group, there was probably 40 to 50 there every week. I was shocked. It was like the same thing was going on here that was happening up there. And I remember in the prayer meeting, because I remember so well, because I was the first kind of door into the prayer meeting, and I remember seeing this most beautiful girl that I've ever seen in my life. She was dressed to, like, go run the, you know, be the CEO of a corporation. I remember trying to, like, I'm thinking, man, I'm really cool, and I can get this girl's attention. She is all business, man, like total business. She's coming to pray and just bolt, go right to the company. So after a few months, I'm like, I'm going to get her number. So a few months later, I got her number, and I called her. 3.5, 4 months later, I got engaged to her. 4 months later, I got married to her. So I love prayer meetings. I love prayer meetings. I was like, because you can not only meet with God, but you could possibly meet your spouse in one of these prayer meetings. All right? So if you're single, go to prayer meetings. That's my advice. Like, really? You're killing me, man. Yes, it's true. Right? It's a true story. When I picked her up in my car, she got in my car and said, just so you know, this is my engagement ring. And I'm like, yep, and you're in my car. And that's the way the story goes. Sorry. That offends somebody, I'm sorry. But, you know. Anyhow, why am I talking about the prayer meeting? Manifest presence of God. That prayer meeting led us to start a prayer meeting for our youth. And we started doing it once a week, and we moved it up and said, we're going to do it at 5:30. Not the same day, a different day, at 5:30 in the morning. John, my brother, myself, there's probably, I don't know how many others that joined us. And we would literally just rumble in tongues for, so we just got to pray in tongues to wake up, and you know, for the first half hour. And so we prayed in tongues first half, and then we just pray in the spirit. And the same thing would happen. We found ourselves on our faces many times, couldn't even speak because the presence of God was so strong. So I found a pattern. There's a pattern of where you're praying with a group of people or by yourself. There's a pattern of God's manifest presence showing up in prayer. Would you agree? It's cool. So it's a key ingredient, isn't it? Come on, I love it. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, it's a scriptural thing. Remember, Solomon brings the Ark of the Covenant, brings it into the temple, and then it goes into chapter 7, and he does the prayer of dedication. Remember that? And he prays, and then the presence, the manifest presence of God comes down, and none of the people could stand. I know we know all this. I'm just quoting it, but that's basically what happens. The presence of God comes in, the glory, they call it the Shekinah glory of God, shows up, and everybody's on their faces. And he basically just prayed. Doesn't say anything about worship, about that. Prayer is powerful, isn't it? There's some keys in there, all right? So I just love that prayer of dedication. So worship and prayer, consistent ingredients in there, all right? Now, in addition, I've been in a bunch of meetings when people are speaking, and when people are speaking, I'm shocked so many times the manifest presence of God happens while they're preaching. I know Marcus is shaking his head, because you see this happen, and you're just like, everybody, I mean, if you're sensitive enough, you're like, wow, this is really amazing. But the manifest presence of God comes down. I've seen it happen a number of times when Charles, all of our different staff guys speaking, it's really good. One of the most memorable ones recently was when Larry Randolph was here during VOP. Do you guys remember that? Was it a Friday night? And it was just stunning. Like, I think people throughout the building just stopped in front of the monitors because he started praying at the end, and it was like, you know. But his speaking, the more he spoke, it just got heavier and heavier. And throughout the whole building, it wasn't just confined to the sanctuary. I was back in the office. I'm like, God is showing up right now. You know, I'm sorry. You just kind of get mesmerized, and you drop whatever is just doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, wow, how cool that is. And I just love when you see that stuff happen, you know. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, and I won't go through the whole thing, but these guys got wrecked by the manifest presence of God in the upper room. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2? They said, hey, everybody stay there until you receive power on high. So when they see the power of God, the manifest presence come down. They're basically just praying together. Isn't that cool? It didn't say anything. They weren't, whatever they're doing, it's a part of prayer. And I thought that showed up. And they're also speaking there. But the next part about that, if you go on further in chapter 2, is when they went out, is what happened. Peter just begins to speak. And if you look at most of chapter 2, everybody gets stuck on the beginning part, but he preaches the rest of that chapter. It's amazing. He unloads. Like, I mean, just read it, and if you haven't done it, it's like, this is pretty amazing. Because this is the guy, the big mouth guy, which people say that's what I do, but I was like, I like this guy. He just unloaded. And the response is, what do we do? What shall we do is what the New American Standard says. What do we do? And I thought, oh, this is good, isn't it? The manifest presence of God brought a response by the people. And I thought, and he was just preaching. Isn't that awesome? I love that when that happens. And it's not like it's better. It's just like God just chooses times where he shows up and you're like, oh, ooh, okay, don't move. I was going to go to the bathroom. No, I'm not. I'm going to stay here. You know what I mean? Anybody experience that? No, don't move. I'll hold it. I don't care. Jesus is here. Right? Sorry, being in the room, but it's so awesome. When he spoke to the masses, man, these guys responded, what shall we do? They just didn't. And they are fussing with the money. He said, they're not drunk with wine like you're saying. I thought, wow. But he goes on, and that whole discourse is amazing. But so preaching seems to be one of those things that's an ingredient also that happens before or after manifest presence or even during all of a sudden his presence manifests. It's so awesome. And I love when that happens because most of the times, at least the pattern I've seen, when manifest presence comes, when people are speaking, people get saved, okay? Or they get free of something they can't get free of. I don't know how else to say it, but that seems to be the consistent pattern. I can't prove it, but my experience, all right? All right. Okay, are you guys with me? Okay. Other people have told me that when they get in the Word of God, they experience the manifest presence of God. Anybody experience that? I can't tell you the countless people over the years I've been here come to me, man, I was just reading the Word and God just showed up in my room. I was reading the Word of God and man, it came upon me and I just got it all of a sudden. Now I understand. Has that happened to anybody else besides me? It's so awesome because then you're like, look what I learned. And you're like, no, I haven't learned anything. God, show me. You know what I mean? I remember the first time, like, I learned all this stuff. But you meditated on the Word or reading the Word or just studying the Word. It's more than just revelation. It's like, oh, I just had an encounter with God. isn't it great? I know, I see Ned's nod. If you haven't had that, go after it, okay? And I'll encourage you here at the end, but it's so great. This happened to me, the first time it happened to me, I was a student at Penn State College, another great experience, and I was meditating on John chapter 6. And John chapter 6 gets into verse 53, and he says, unless you eat my, you know, flesh and drink my blood, you know, and if you do that, you have eternal life. And it freaks everybody out, because everybody reads that like, you know, it's like a horror story, you know? And so all the people left, and he's like, what about you disciples too? Do you guys remember that? But the part I got stuck on wasn't so much that. It was towards the end of that discourse in verse 63. And I love what he says. He says, it's so good. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. And I kept staying right in this thing of the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And I kept thinking, God, show me this thing. It's the Spirit who gives. So the flesh doesn't get anything out of this. Do you know what I mean? Prophets nothing. And then he goes, the flesh profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, stay with me and you might think I'm some crazy person. It's the first time, and maybe I had one other time like this, where I had a total out-of-body experience. So I'm sitting in this. I literally probably sitting in here for an hour and a half. That's all I do is read my Bible and pray for hours a day. And it's great. My roommates thought I lost my mind, which is okay too. So I did in a good way. I lost it to Jesus. So I was just meditating on this thing. And instantly I was up in the top of the room looking at my body. And I'm like, oh, and I saw the flesh is just flesh without the Spirit. I saw the littleness of it and think, how can lust of my flesh, lust of my eyes, how can that lead me at all? How can that have any more power? I was like, it's just, ugh. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to describe it, but I remember just going like, wow, really the flesh profits nothing. It's all about the Spirit of God. Now we need to keep ourselves healthy and, you know, all that stuff so we can stay here as long as we want. You know what I mean? Or can, right? But there's that part of like, wow, I've been missing. And I had dealt with all kinds of junk in my flesh, you know, drugs and all that junk. And I was like, wow, this has no power, man. This is just a little thing. Do you know what I mean? But I remember it's because the word is this total encounter with God. It just wrecked me. I mean, wrecked me. And next thing I remember, I was like back in my body. My roommate knocked on the door. Hey, what's going on? I'm like, I was in the room. And they're like, close the door. Like, he's gone. Call 911. But it's great. Right? Sounds bad. Right? But I just remember him showing me this. And I thought, God, I just want the presence of God being manifested. I think there's these patterns with it, right? Come on, so we have worship, we have prayer, we're preaching the word. Isn't that good? You see these continual things. That's what I love about Life Center, because it's about the presence of God, isn't it? We want to experience the love of God, which is the presence of God. And what do? We go out and affect people around us. When you have an encounter with God and you have this manifest presence of God, you affect people around you. I heard someone say, now the Holy Spirit's not just in you, now he's upon you. And that's what happened to Peter, man. He was in him, but then he was upon him. When they all walked outside, they're like, what's going on here? Isn't that awesome? I just think it's different. It's a different realm. And, just try not to make a scientific project about it, but there are patterns we see, all right? Okay, so the challenge for each of us, and I'll just try to finish up here. The challenge for each of us in our own personal lives is how do we be a host for his presence every day? And I remember when I got saved, my older sister led me to the Lord, and she said, this would be the greatest challenge, be the hardest thing you ever do, but the greatest thing you ever experience on a daily basis. I thought, God, help me. There are days and weeks, months I've failed. Like, I'm not a good host at all. Do you know what I mean? But I thought, God, if I can learn to be a host of your manifest presence or just your presence, if I work at that, I find the things that are pleasing to the Lord according to Scripture. And there's some things that I don't think that please the Lord. We're like, it's okay. And God's like, no, it's not okay. Anybody ever have that? I've had a lot of that in the last few years of my life. Like, okay, bud, let's grow up, you know? Holy Spirit, help us. Okay, so three things to consider just real quickly. Unity, humility, and love, okay? And I know two out of the three things. We had a prophet in 87 came through, and he talked about three keys that would affect this whole region, and unity and humility were two of them. So the word that, you know, we hear unity all the time, and wherever there's unity, God commands the blessing. Okay, Psalm 133, you guys know the whole scripture. Whenever there's unity, he commands the blessing. Now, I'm not talking about we get unified on everything. I'm not going to agree with Vinny on everything. I'm not going to agree with John on everything. I'm not going to agree with David on everything. Guys I work with in this place all the time. We disagree a lot in an agreeable way. You know, right on the border there sometimes. Maybe he and I more. Then he just watches like, wow, do you guys? So, but we,
But I'm talking about the major stuff. Can I say it that way? Like, we stay in unity on the big stuff, okay? Let's not miss it on that. And we honor one another. That's that we defer to one another. We do that stuff. We have to fuss stuff out. You know that? A guy came up to me, and a guy's mature. He's been around for years and visited here. And he said, wow, you and John and Charles have been around a long time, together a long time. I said, I bet you've had some fusses. I said, yeah, we've had some good fusses. You know, and he's like, he just started laughing because he got it. You know, he's an older guy. He's like, yeah, I bet that. I said, but we chose to stay together. And I said, there's something in that. If we stay in that unity, you know, that's the big part. Does that make sense? We're not going to agree on every little detail. It's like, okay. You know, but there are the big ones we want to stay on, all right? Does that make sense? Because the unity goes in that whole thing about Ephesians 4, you know, stays, says there's a bond of peace, and in all that, there's an experience. And really, God's talking about the kingdom of God expanding all the more. So don't blow it up and, you know, walk away, okay? But there is that part. You can get offended, or you can, you know, get into whatever, all kinds of strife with each other. It's like, no, we're not going to go there, you know? And we fussed some things out. Right, Ann's going, yes, we have. And Vinny, all of us, man, all the guys have been around here. We have to figure it out. Tom Valka's been up there he's been here for many years, yeah. Tom runs sound, yes. Tom's been here longer than all of us. And we had to fuss a lot. Tom would come in, yeah. Tom and I fussed the whole first 3 years. He didn't like me, and I didn't like him. Anyhow, now we're good friends. Because he went on that trip to Hungary with me. We rented a sound system. The beer festival, soccer match. He was the deal. All right. Second, humility. Humility, I know you guys know this, but it's the things that we say, hey, let's do this. Why? Because we want to host the Holy Spirit. But humility is such a good deal. I love, you know, he gives grace to the humble. It says in 1 Peter 5:5, right? He's opposed to the proud. The proud goes, I know better. I know what I'm doing. It's like, no, the humble goes, okay. And my wife really helps me do this a lot. She said, let's just stay low. I'm like, oh, really? You have to say that again? You know, she said to me, let's just go lower. I'm like, come on. I'm on the ground. Can't go any lower. Shut up. On the inside. On the outside. I'm like, Marcy, that's so awesome. You're always so spiritual. Anybody else have a spouse that does that? Like, just you're better than the Holy Spirit. And I'm not liking it right now. Okay, so we do that, okay? But that humility is the humble thing. Is like, let's get God be the big thing, all right? Let him be the big dog. Like Charles said the first year together, we should make Jesus famous. I was like, I'm with him. I can work with him forever, all right? All right, third is love. If we stay in love, what do? We stay in him, all right? And this is where people fall out, man. And they just get offended. It's like, no, we're going to stay in love. Because we stay in love, we're going to stay in God. That's what it says in 1 John 4:16. We sing this stuff. We just got to live it out. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit to help us, right? Come on. Are you with me? So come on, let's all go for it this summer, don't you? I just think we want to go for it this summer. What do I mean by that? I want us to, like, let's take the summer and just host his presence all summer. Does that sound good? It's a challenge. Challenge yourself every day. I was challenged at the end of the year. I feel like the Holy Spirit tell me loud and clear. And you open your eyes in the morning, delight yourself in me. Have I done it every day? No, but I'm working at it. Like I made a discipline. You know what I mean? Put it on my phone. Delight yourself, Lord. Woke up. Oh, yeah, yeah. God, before I get out of bed, making it a practice. Practicing the presence of God. It's something you can do. I read this little book many years ago by Brother Lawrence. I don't know if anybody ever heard of it, but Practicing the Presence of the Lord. It's so powerful. James Gall incorporated it in one of his books about prayer. But I consume that book. I think I've worn them out and just studied them all. And it's different, but it's a real small thing. You can read it in one sitting. But it absolutely it'll affect your life, change your life. But it's practicing the presence of the Lord when you're fixing something in your house, when you're in the grocery store, when you're driving in your car. That's a big one. Right? When you're, you know, whatever you're doing, practicing the presence of the Lord. And I remember, and I'm, you know, my wife's the same, but I remember after our fourth child, she really dug in and said, I'm going to pray for my kids when I'm changing their diapers at 3 a.m. I'm going to pray for the church when I'm, you know, getting in the middle of the night feeding. I'm going to, you know, she just made it a part of, I'm going to practice the presence of the Lord instead of getting stressed out, worn out, doing the mundane things that wear you out. I'm going to practice the presence of the Lord. Isn't that good? So come on, how many people want to host his presence all summer? How many people are up for the challenge? It's a 3-month challenge, June, July, August. We could go for it, right? Well, come on, let's stand. Come on, if you want to host his presence, let's just lift a hand to the Lord. I know it's probably everybody in the room, so we could pray for each other, whatever we want to do, but I just think it's a challenge for all of us. You know, like the Lord has challenged me, delight yourself in me when I open my eyes. Maybe that's a word for somebody here tonight.
delight yourself in the Lord. It's the way we want to do it. So we're going to hear all about different guys are going to speak. Most of our staff is speaking this whole summer. And we're just going to, if we as much as we can, talk about the presence of the Lord, hosting his presence. We can talk about, there's a million things you can talk about this, but we just thought we'd kick it off tonight and keep it general. Is that okay? So Holy Spirit, we just pray right now. Come on, if you're with somebody, just pray for yourself first. Holy Spirit, we want to host your presence. On the most difficult days, on the happiest days, we pray we'd host you, be hosts of your presence, be a place that you be pleasing to you. The words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, God, would be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, speak to every heart here tonight. Just to maintain unity, I pray for a grace for unity. Those that are in houses that are with turmoil and tension, God, we just pray. You would do what we can't do, God. Bring unity where there's not, where there's strife, Father. I pray. Grace for unity. Grace for humility, Father. We've been arrogant and proud in our own doings. God, I pray just strip away all the pride in our hearts this summer. Let us walk humbly before our God. And God, fill our hearts with love over and over and over again. Refill us with the love of you, God, I pray. Thank you for worship. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you for the word of God. But I pray that we put a hunger in everyone in this room, their hearts for your word all summer long. We'd feast on your written word. And in turn, we'd hear your spoken word in our hearts. God, we thank you for this, Lord. If you're with somebody close, you feel comfortable, just pray with someone beside you. And if you're not, if you want to stay alone, it's okay. But if you're with a family member or somebody, just go ahead, take a moment, pray for each other. Just, you know, 1 minute each person, not long. Just pray whatever comes up in your heart. Come on, they're going to keep singing a little bit. If you want prayer for any of these areas, maybe you're in a place of strife and you need God to break through. And any of these things we talked about, whether it's humility or unity or love, or man, you just said, man, Brian, I need a change. I need a drastic, like, God to move in my life. I want to pray for you before you're out of here, right? Well, this is a great place to pray, this room. We do want to host the presence of God like never before. Amen. All right, great. Well, be blessed. Love on some people. Like I said, we'll have some people down here to pray for you. We would love to pray for you before you get out of here. So have a great night. Have a great week. See you.